Awesome. Well, am I on? Really? Oh, there it is. Now I can hear me too. Guys, Jack, if you can get ready again to take this away in a minute. I just wanted to start off today with a video in a minute that I know some of us have seen. It's the video that we showed at our celebration service in the PM of Morrowfield in May, May 26. It was 4 years celebrating that we'd been in this facility, 6 years birthday as a church. And I know that not everyone was able to come to that night. And I thought, you know what? I've been meeting up with lots of new people lately, and some of us like, oh, I saw the teaser in the morning, but I didn't get to see the rest of the video. And I thought, you know what? Next fun day, I'm going to show the video, and it sets the tone for the message today so well. And the facility that we have here, church, what you and I are a part of, is amazing. It's awesome. What God has given to us is a baton from a previous generation that is being stewarded by us now, and we're going to have to pass that on at some point someday. You know, this building was planted almost 25 years ago by an AOG pastor, and from what I understand, this beam here, this was the church. There was apparently like a fruit market and all these other different shops as well on the property, but it then went into the hands of the COC and then INC and City Point and then to us. And it was a Friday morning. I was having coffee with a whole bunch of other youth pastors, and because we were planning our rally for that year. And I was chatting with Ryan from City Point. I was like, oh, Ryan, how you going? How's everything happening in Morrowfield? And he's like, yeah, really exciting. I'm like, oh, tell me more. He's like, oh, we're almost moving into the building that we've bought over in Caboolture. And I'm like, tell me more. So what's happening with your old building? He's like, I don't know, the agent's probably going to put it back on the market or something. I was like, what's their number? So called them up, found out, called the boss, called the board, got it all approved. Friday, literally, she's like, no way. Well, I was going to put it on the market on Monday. Can I tell you that this building came with a church, I mean, we've tweaked it and stuff, you know, since we've taken it, but it came with a fit out. That was a church already. That doesn't just happen. And you know, and up until that point, I mean, we were set up, set down. At that point, we're in the school hall because we'd just come out of the back of COVID and we couldn't go back in the cinema. They had way too many restrictions. We didn't want that. And the blessing of having a facility with a church fit out already, like, that is unheard of in church planting world. I was just like, this is so cool, because we'd actually put in an offer on the Sizzlers building that's now a national storage. We were like, I was literally running prayer meetings on vacant blocks of land, walking around, stomping on it. Like, I was laying hands on buildings. Like, I was that guy at the front door of someone else's building. I was like, Lord, this is ours in Jesus' name. And the whole time, God was like, Joe, unless the Lord builds the house. Now, I know the rest of it. Yes, we'll labor in vain. But I'm like, but Lord, you made me a doer. It's my personality. I can't not do it. I've got to do something. And then this. And I love that God has ensured that a church is still in this facility, in this place, for a stake in the ground on the main road in Morrowfield. And I love it, because we're in a place where this is something that is not only that is being stewarded by us, this is something that is setting up for what's to come. You know, Morrowfield, by 2050, they believe there's going to be 52,000 people in the suburb of Morrowfield. There's 27,000 people right now. And Caboolture West, 10 minutes away, there's going to be 70,000 people by 2050. That is what they are planning for, that they are putting the infrastructure in and building for. And I just think it's super exciting. And so what has started as a seed, you and I are watering. Yeah. And God is bringing increase. And so I want you to turn your eyes to the screen and enjoy this. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, team.
Hi, my name is Lily. I've always had a passion to share Jesus with the lost. I promise the Lord that I will give towards your kingdom to a church to fund this purpose. And one day he just brought it up when I was working in the garden. And I asked the Holy Spirit, how much do you want me to give, Lord? And he said, an amount that would make you uncomfortable. Oh dear. Anyway, I started naming the amounts, and he finally said 100,000. So I thought, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. Who am I to argue with you? So I did tell him, you need to sell my house first. By the time the house was sold, I had moved to Redcliffe. I was out there with Pastor Mark when he pointed to the car park and he said, this car park would take 100,000 to develop it. I took that as a sign from the Lord that I had to give. When the money was given, Pastor Mark came to me and said, the money would be better used to plant a church in Murrayfield. I was ecstatic. Like, this is what I've always wanted. And this is what the Lord wanted me to do. I still would like to evangelize. I still would like to street witness. But I know that a church could do so much better because Jesus himself said, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So there is an urgency for a lot of churches to get hungry for lost souls.
This is exactly where I was standing on a Sunday night, just before our Sunday night service. We had a guest speaker and we were just talking about different things. And Pastor David Elder came in and said, Pastor Mark, I've got something one of my congregation gave me this morning. And he handed me an envelope. So I opened up the envelope. To be honest, at that time, I didn't know if it was going to be something of complaining. But when I opened it up, I realized it wasn't a complaint. And what happened is I opened up and I saw a check. I kept on looking at the check and kind of looking at the guest speaker, and he could see I was a little bit confused because I kept seeing his check for $100,000, but I couldn't understand $100,000. It was kind of outside my belief. And I kept on thinking, $10,000, that's amazing. But in actual fact, it was $100,000. And then it just hit me. Someone had given us $100,000. And immediately the responsibility of that came upon me. I thought, this is someone's worship. This is someone's sacrifice. This isn't something that's small. This is something that's extremely large. And I knew that God wanted us to do something with us. This was the provision of God, not just someone giving something. I remember that God had put Morayfield on my heart. It was very clear that the Holy Spirit wanted Emerge Church to be in Morayfield. And now, through this $100,000 check, we now had the means. I always wait for God to initiate something. It's not for us to initiate His kingdom. He will always initiate something in our spirit. So He's given me the vision, and now He's given us the means in which to do it. What a great God we serve.
And this is where God planted the seed. Through these very doors, a faithful team of 25 of us came every single Sunday, and we set up church here at the cinemas in Morayfield, seeing God establish a new work. And we saw from May 2019 through to May 2022, just before COVID hit, God establishing the church here in Morayfield. Amazing stories beginning. You know, God was building something that came from seed, and it was now being birthed into a brand new local church, blessing not just the suburb of Morayfield, but also all of the surrounding suburbs. From the cinema through Australian Christian College for 6 months into this building that God gave us in May of 2021, God is doing something incredible in and through this place. Monday night homeless, midweek men's and women's outreach, our playgroup outreach Friday mornings into our youth on Friday nights, and then our Sunday services. Last year we went to multiple services, and God is not done yet impacting the region around us through this place. We are seeing souls saved. We're seeing people commit in baptism. We're seeing discipleship classes. And all of this is to God be the glory. From one woman's obedience, so many stories being impacted by Jesus. And it's just the beginning.
I love Emerge because this is where I met Jesus. Because it's showing me and all the people in my life what true community and family looks like.
Because it's brought us together as a family.
We love Emerge because we found family here.
It's a powerful church that's growing and growing.
To be honest, our lives have been transformed during this time here.
I love Emerge Church for its welcoming nature and how everyone is loved upon.
Because of the genuine heart of God that is behind every leader and staff member.
Because the presence of God is here.
Because Kid Church.
This is a place where people can come and encounter God and their lives can be transformed.
So when Lily was obedient to God and gave that $100,000, God had you in mind.
How cool is it? A little snippet into what God is doing in us and through us. And what it shows us is family. Like Michael trying to get in and photobomb in one of the moments that he's walking into the cafe tables. I find that highly amusing, Michael. It's good you giggle every time that you see that too. You know, you and I have our immediate family that we call our blood family. But you know what, church? In addition to that, you and I are also a part of another family, and it's the family, and it's also a blood family. Jesus' blood has brought us together into the family of God. And so all of us, brothers and sisters, because we're children of God. So you might be sitting next to someone and you're like, oh, wow, that's actually my little sister. And you might be sitting next to her and it's like, wow, that's my older brother. It's like, but that's the reality of it. We are literally brothers and sisters in the family of God. There is something that is going on here that you and I are a part of that is not by happen chance. I can't understand that this could be coincidence. Our God is too big for it to be happen chance that you might be here. Our God is too awesome. And whether you agree with that or not, God is big and he is awesome and he does know what he's doing. And you are here for a reason and you're meant to be here. And there is a part for you to play in what God is doing in this place and through this place. You think about it now, like we've already had one service this morning. We've got another service now. Like I'm literally praying and chatting with team and different ones. I'm like, how do we start a third service? Like, let's open the door again. Let's make room for even more. Like, or the one that's really exciting is like, let's start another campus. Like, how cool would that be? You know, 50,000 here in Morayfield, 70,000 in Caboolture West over the next 2 decades. I'm like, I took Jack out there earlier on this year to the middle of where Caboolture West is going to be. It's like, there's going to be 70,000 people here. It's like the size of Mackay is going to be 10 minutes away. And we're a part of that. It's not just for the now that you and I have been brought to this place and planted here. I'm like, let's start Morayfield Campus B. How cool would that be? Like, there's enough people in Morayfield. We need more churches, more seats, more people to do what God has called us to do. And you see, that it might have been Lily's seed that got planted, but you and I are watering that seed. And God is bringing increase in us and through us. And it's exciting. And you know what I love about us? Some people will say to me, like, Pastor Joe, it's like a really eclectic group of people. I'm like, it is, isn't it? And you know what? It excites me because it's like a little foretaste of heaven. And I love that because that's what it's meant to be about. I mean, all of us have got different stories. We do different things during the week. We've got different backstories. We've got different goals and visions in life. But we're a part of the family of God and we've got to rally around each other and help each other do what God has called us to do. And that's the title of my message today. We are family. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that today we would be inspired by your word, but the Lord, that we would submit to you and to one another. God, that what you have for us would truly continue to grow in us. And Lord, let it overflow and let it flow through us. Lord, your love for humanity. God, your desire for people to be brought into your family. God, I pray that today would excite us by what you are doing in and through us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, like Jack thought around communion this morning, church, let's not get comfortable. Let's not get too familiar with what we've got. What we've got is awesome, but let's recognize that. And today, let's honor it, but let's go after it. Let's protect it and let's want more of it and let's be in this together. You know, every time that I've had an accident in my life, every time I've walked into something or driven into something or something has happened that shouldn't have happened, it's because I was distracted. Like, it took my eye off the ball, took my eye off the game, took my eye off the road, and then something's happened and boom, you know, and then you got to either deal with the consequences, whether it's like something of finance or something of humiliation or whatever it might be, I don't know. But always, I'm sure you've been there too, where something's happened, you've had your mind on something else, and then you've had an accident, or could even simply be in conversation, like your mind is somewhere else. and you're trying to be present in the moment, but you just can't shake what you're thinking about. Like sometimes when things are really heavy on your life, something that's really concerning you, something that is worrying you, it can sort of filter into every conversation, every engagement, everything that you're trying to do that day, and it can distract you from what you should be doing in that moment. And there's a moment like that that we're going to read together today in Matthew chapter 20, in Jesus's ministry, where his mind is fixed on his mission. Like he is resolutely walking towards Jerusalem, the last time he would do so. This was a moment, Matthew chapter 20, where he's finished doing all of his stuff out there, and he's like, okay, the time's now. I'm heading to Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to pick this up. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17. It says, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside privately, and he told them what was going to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Jesus is literally telling them what's about to happen. And you'll see in the very next sentence, the very next part of this story, the disciples, it's like straight over their head. Like they are focused on something else. They don't get it because it's not their plan. It's not what they think should be happening. Jesus is literally, he's setting a moment up. He literally pulls them to the side. Like, so, oi, it's like an inner circle moment. The 12 boys, Jesus is like, hey guys, like we're going up to Jerusalem and this is where it's all going to go down. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to get given to the Romans. I'm going to be flogged and whipped and brutalized and crucified, and then I'm going to die. But then I'm going to be raised back to life on the third day. And they're like, literally not even listening. I'm convinced of it. Look at what happens. Very next slide. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. It's almost like Jesus just pivots in the whole conversation. He knows what's going on. Like he knows what they're asking. He knew they were going to. Like he is the good shepherd. Jesus wasn't blinded in what he was doing. God told him. And it's almost like there's a bit of a setup here. But no, it's a discipleship teaching moment. What's your request? Well, she replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. So Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from the bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is mission focused. Like he's like, okay, it's Jerusalem for the joy waiting before me. Oh, you got to get up there. Like this is the time. Now is the time. Everything is ready. Everything's been done that has to be done. And he is with a resolute mind heading towards Jerusalem. And what are the disciples thinking about? places of honor, like they're being distracted by the things that are earthly. And then, you know, the 10 boys are getting indignant. They're upset with the other two because they're trying to like one up. And, you know, mum's getting involved. It's like good old mum, you know. Sometimes some mums, you know, can play a bit of a backseat in kids' lives. Sometimes there's those mums, you know, that they're like fully in, you know, like they're like the ones running down the sideline screaming for their little ones. And like, good on you, you know, get after it, go for it. That's what I say. So this mum, she's there, and the response of Jesus is like, he doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He's like, you have no idea what you're asking. He's like, my father is the one who's going to be doing that. And in that moment, it's like she's asking, and the boys are, I almost picture them like, they're like, oh, mum, you know, just sort of leaning in and just like hoping it's going to be like an awesome response from Jesus. And then obviously not the response they were probably looking for. Like those moments where you just want to curl up into a ball. It's like, oh man. It's like, it was mum, you know. It's like, but, you know, they're doubling down on the conversation as well. And then the other boys start getting indignant. And Jesus seizes the moment to portray to them what he was literally trying to get across in the statement just before this story goes down. If the king is going to be a sacrifice, then so must the followers. Like Jesus sets up the moment of the teaching and says, look, among you it will be different. You know, everyone else, they flaunt their authority and they try and lord it over the people, but among you it's going to be different. And Jesus starts setting them up and he's like, no, you're going to be servants and slaves. And he's like, you know, if the king's going to be crucified, you know, if I'm going to be mocked and flogged and beaten, betrayed and ridiculed, as it goes for the king, it's going to go for the followers. And so he's explaining to them that the way that he is calling them to live as a sacrifice is different to the way that they thought that they might be able to live. You know, sometimes we can get caught up. We can get caught up in ourselves. But I also want to put to you, church, today that we can also collectively get caught up in things that can become a distraction, even things that may not necessarily be bad. Sometimes, like when things are so good and we get too familiar and too comfortable with what we've got. I mean, you think about even our country, even Australia. Church, we have it so good compared to other places around the world, and we can become too familiar with what we've got and we can start to miss the main game. Among you, it will be different. Don't fit in. Stand out. We're not called to fit in. Like we are called to look different, sound different, smell different. Like Jesus was far from fitting in. Like he was a king, but he didn't come as a king. He certainly didn't live as a king, and he certainly didn't go out as a king. But he is a king, and he is the king, and he's the king of all kings and lord of all lords. And that was his life. And we're his followers. But we're not called. Like you and I are meant to be visibly different to the world around us, in our places of work, like the streets that we live in. Like there should be something that sets us apart, something that makes us different. We've been called to stand out. Like I like to describe us like the shooting stars in the night sky. Like we're not the ones that just sit there all the time. We're passing through. We're here for but a moment. But which are the stars that everyone really likes? They're like, whoa, did you see that one? Everyone around is like, no, you know, you've been there looking at shooting stars. I'm sure like someone sees one. No one else gets to see. It's like, oh man, I was looking over here at the wrong time. That's us. We're meant to stand out. We're meant to be different. I personally have never struggled with that. I've always stood out. Like when I was young, I was extremely short, covered with freckles and red hair. It, like walking around the schoolyard, I had like giant big arrows in the sky pointing at me like, pick on this guy. It's like, get after him. It's like, I couldn't help it. And you know what? I grew up, teenager, into uni. Anywhere I went, I'm loud. I'm hard on my sleeve type of guy. Like I tell people everything, overshare, and very emotional. Like when I was younger, this is something that like so many things in my character and what God has developed in me and my long-suffering, loving parents, thank God for them, I could just get instantaneously angry. Like you know how they say like redheads, like bit of fire? Like that was me. to a T. Like, especially one of my brothers, like, man, he could just press this button, instantaneous headache. He could just look or just say just one thing, just do one thing. And man, it was like a gift, like instantaneous headache. Like I would get so angry in that moment. And praise God that that is something that I don't struggle with anymore. But you and I, we're not meant to fit in. We are literally meant to stand out. Among you, it will be different. It wasn't a statement of hope. It was a statement of declaration. Jesus wants us to be different. You think about it, like his teaching of leadership is like, hey, if you want to be first, if you want to be like a leader among everyone, well, this is how you got to do it. Serve and slave, because that's what I'm doing. That was his teaching to actually be able to achieve something in his life. Serve and slave. Among you, it will be different. Colossians chapter 3, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives and treat them always how you should. Children, always obey your parents. Romans 12, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Galatians 6, bear each other's burdens. 1 Peter 4, keep loving each other earnestly. Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. 1 John 4, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. James 5, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Philippians 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I love the Psalm 133 that David wrote. And this was a picture of what King David had of what the family of God is meant to be like. And have a look at this. How truly wonderful and delightful it is, how pleasant it is to see brothers and sisters living together in harmony, in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, this is where Yahweh has decreed his blessings will be found, the promise of life forevermore. David literally contrasts the family of God living in harmony, the goodness being shared amongst the family, to heaven, eternal life. You know, I love it when I'm standing in worship here and I'm just like, I hear us praising God and just worshiping him and just giving him our all and our attention. I'm like, this is like a little foretaste of heaven. Like all of us from all different countries, all different heritages, all different cultures, all different, you know, even not just national cultures, but even family cultures. Like some of us speak different languages and all of the different stuff that we want to do and be and God's called us to do for the future. This is literally a little piece of heaven. It's a foretaste of what we're going to have forever. And so I want to encourage you to defend the family. Defend the family. Have a think about this. Like you are sitting next to siblings. Defend them. Stand up for them. Look after them. People are never the problem. Ephesians chapter 6 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So even when we're having a struggle with someone sometimes, recognize that there is definitely something going on behind it. Like even in your place of work, have a think about this. Even if they're not Christian, they're just yet to be adopted brothers and sisters, may I point out to you. And there is 100% something else at work. Remember, there's not just God, there is a devil. And he does have some angels that went with him. Thankfully, only one third. Two thirds stayed. Praise God. We've got a bigger army looking after us. We don't wrestle against people. But there's something going on behind. And so defend the family. If you're starting to have thoughts, you know, about other people, or you recognize if there's stuff going on in the family of God, defend the family. Pray. Do all of those things that I read out. Fight against the enemy. Let's not let him win. Come on. A united force is something to be reckoned with. A church that is on board together is going to influence and impact the community around them for good and for God. That's what we've been called to do. But if the enemy can creep in and cause a little splinter here, or maybe through conversation over there, or maybe it's not even, you know, between the brothers and sisters, maybe it's that collectively there's maybe a distraction about this or a distraction about that. We have to make sure that we're defending the family and staying focused. You know, Jesus put it like this. He said, planks over specks. I like to visualize things. I'm like, think about these like two giant 2x4s sticking out of your eye. And you're like, and you're worrying about specks in other people's eyes. It's like, don't worry about the specks. Everyone's got specks. Worry about the planks sticking out of your eye. It's like, let's overlook. Let's be quick to forgive. Let's love each other and let's champion each other and defend the family. You think you and I are brothers and sisters, but we're also described as the bride of Christ. You don't go after some guy's wife. You don't go after the bride. And it's not just this church. It's the church is described as the bride of Christ. My next thought is to not break out of the family. Can I tell you, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. Come on, invest, engage, get amongst it, get a part of other people's lives, and let's help each other do all that we've been called to do. It's the stories like the prodigal son stories in Scripture that warn us. Like, it doesn't work out. It's not good to leave the family of God. It's not good to think that there might be something else that's better, because there's not. Jesus is the answer, and he always will be. And so, church, don't give up. If you're struggling, don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on each other. Don't give up on God's idea, because he hasn't given up on you, and he never will. He died for this, and he's coming back for this. He loves us. So don't break out of the family. Extend the family. Defend it. Don't break out of it. And extend it. I want to talk briefly now about the moment of Zacchaeus, because it's actually wrapped up in this moment. Matthew chapter 20 and Luke chapter 19 work together. This is the moment where Jesus is coming through. He's come through, and I studied to see if there's any other way that you can actually get up to Jerusalem other than going through Jericho, because in reality, Jericho wasn't even really meant to be there. It had been cursed and destroyed, but Jesus comes through it, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's, you know, could there be another way? And of course, there's another way that you could get to anywhere really by any means if you're willing to put in the effort. But this was the way. This was the common way for the Jews in pilgrimage to head up to Jerusalem. They come through the Jordan River and they'd go through Jericho up to Jerusalem. So this was meant to be a part of the story. And we see as Jesus comes in at the start of Luke 19, it says that he was going to pass through, but yet he stops. And the story of Zacchaeus takes place. And it's an amazing story. It's powerful because Jesus is doing one final display before he gets up to Jerusalem of who he is. And then he, you know the story, he like meets with Zacchaeus and dines with him and loves on him and changes his world and he gets saved. And then he's leaving Jericho. This conversation takes place. He pulls the disciples to the side and tells them about what's about to happen. And then in Matthew 20, it continues on and says, as he was leaving Jericho, two blind men start crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus has a mission that he is intentionally focused on. He is willingly walking into humiliation and ridicule and service. And he's going, this is who I am, and this is what my kingdom is all about. I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come for those that everyone else has put off. I have come to open the blind eyes, both physically and spiritually. This is him saying, I am he. I'm the Messiah, and this is what my family is all about. You know, Zacchaeus was so short, he couldn't see over the crowd, and also so hated because of what he was doing with his life. He climbs the sycamore fig tree, and just tries to get a glimpse. Man, if I could just see Jesus. Come on, Jesus didn't want to just be seen by Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted to be known by Zacchaeus. Like, Jesus wanted relationship, deep relationship, called him out by name, knew him, knew what was needed to change that man's life. Come on, one encounter with Jesus, his whole world changed forever. Jesus had a mission, and yet in the middle of all of that, the disciples were worrying about other stuff. Even though they were literally walking with Jesus. You know, we don't know what people are going through. The person next to you, you have no idea what they're going through. Sometimes, even if it's someone that you really, really know really well, sometimes we hold things inside our inner man that some of us are like, man, I'm taking this one to the grave. You know, I too was very short, as I said. I didn't grow until after school. It's like, come on, Lord, help a brother out. I got red hair and freckles, and you've made me short as well. It's like setting me up. Hey, you know what though? It taught me a whole lot of resilience. Like, my character development has been an extremely long-going journey. Okay, but it was a struggle. There was so many different points in my life where I was bullied really badly in school, and I was always ostracized. But you know what? It got me through to the point where I didn't care about me anymore. I cared more about the people around me. Because through the grace of God, I realized that I was loved and that I was saved. And so I started to be a witness even to the ones that did not like me. And can I tell you, that attitude has opened so many doors in my life now for people that start out not liking me and end up being really good friends. Do you want to see a picture of me when I was younger? I've got a picture for you today. This is, I found this on Facebook. There he is, look at that little Joey. Hey, clearly trying to impersonate James Bond. All right. Now, believe it or not, I'm actually 20 years old in that photo. Okay. I'm midway through my university degree. I'm working as a building certifier. Now, I do look at that and I realize now why some of the builders probably didn't like listening to me telling them what to do with their construction jobs. But that's August 2007, a couple of months after my 20th birthday. It's true. Look at that, even you can't really see him, but pimples and everything. It's just amazing. You know, my family, we grew up in Brisbane. You guys can put my title slide back up, please. Thank you. We grew up in Brisbane. I went to Petrie State Primary School, went to Bray Park State High, went to QUT at Gardens Point. My family has been established in North Brisbane. Now, I don't think I'm always going to be in North Brisbane. I do think God is going to send me abroad at some point, and I'm also going to do other things in Australia as well. But at this time, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am where I'm meant to be. And I want to put to you that where you are is where you are meant to be at this time. Unless you are running away from God, if you are seeking after God, there is a part for you to play where you are living. My family lives in North Brisbane. And it was through the tragedy of my younger brother, 20 years old, he passed away from a sudden sickness. I was laying on the bed next to him when it happened. And man, we were praying and we were believing God for him to be raised back to life. Like, we had seen people raised back to life and our entire life. I have grown up with the platform from my parents where God was, he was answer A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Like, there was no other solution in my family. We put our complete trust in God for absolutely everything. And so to then have something like this happen, it rocked our world. But you know what it gave me? It gave me a full understanding of the future. It gave me a big understanding of eternity. It gave me an awesome revelation of where I know my brother Nathan is and just how frail this time here on this earth can be. And I had to choose to decide if I was going to sell out to God or not. There was a time where I was coming home from being at a club in town for a friend's 21st. I was driving my dual cab Nissan Navara back home, and I have no idea how I got home. I had like an open eye vision. I felt like this demonic presence in my car, and I felt the Holy Spirit question me, Joe, do you really love your friends? And I said, yeah, of course I do. No, you don't. He's like, you've just spent the entire night trying to fit in. And he's like, they don't know hope, they don't know the light, they don't know love. And oh man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then I was standing in that moment in what I knew without a shadow of doubt. I could tell I was in this line, this long line of people, and I could clearly see that I was headed towards the seat of judgment and that I was going to heaven. And I looked to my left and I saw this other line, and I could clearly tell that it was heading off to hell. And one of my best friends was standing in that line, and he looked over at me and he's like, "Joe, why didn't you tell me?" And I was like, "I did." He's like, "But why didn't you try harder to make me actually believe this?" And I'm like, "I did." And I have never, ever been able to shake that moment, church. It is a part of the driving force of my life to understand that this is really life and death, that what you and I are a part of is literally the family of God that Jesus died for, so that you and I would be able to live for all eternity, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's what the cross is for. Can I get the band to join me, please? You see, we are family. And the family needs to grow. You know, the people around you, sometimes it's people that you might struggle with, or it might be people that they're just existing next to you. Can I tell you that if there are people around you that you struggle with or that you see struggling in life, if they don't know Jesus, expect them to be that way. Expect them to not no good, or expect them to be living a lifestyle that doesn't align up with yours, because you are different. And it's a good thing to be different, but also recognize, like I said before, that they are your yet to be adopted brothers and sisters. And it's up to us to reach out and to love on them. Jesus is calling us to follow him every day, to live like he lived, to love like he loved, to enjoy being a Christian, to recognize what we've got and to do what God has called us to do. You know, church, could we live with an open heart, with a tender heart to the humanity around us? You know, we're going to finish today in just a moment praying for each other. And I'll lead you. I'm not going to make it awkward. It's going to be a time that I think you guys are going to get a lot out of and really enjoy. We're going to pray for provision, protection over their lives. We're going to pray for the purpose of God in their life. But then we're going to take a moment also to pray for their family. Maybe their parents don't know God. Maybe their children don't know God. Maybe they are going through a real massive battle with their health or something else in life where they need breakthrough. We don't know sometimes the story of the person that is literally sitting beside us. You know, for me, there is not just God, there is also the devil. And it's Jesus said that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, when I was younger, as a teenager and into my university years, I used to get thoughts planted in my mind that why are you here? No one likes you. You're ugly. Like, no one cares about you. Like, just end it, Joe. Because he was trying to kill me. And that's what the devil tries to do. You know, now as a pastor, sometimes I'll be driving along the road. It doesn't happen all the time, but the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes I look at that bridge and I start to have thoughts, or I look at a tree and my mind starts to wander, and I have to take authority over those thoughts and go, "No, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name." Come on, church, you have no idea what the person next to you might be going through in life. We have to actually lift each other up. And when people are getting up and getting out of the boat and giving something to go, champion them, resource them, give to them, pray for them, tell them that they're doing a good job. Or maybe there's someone in your world that you're like, "Man, they could be doing so much more. Like, they're awesome." Like, encourage them. Tell them that. Tell them, "Hey, come on. Man, have you ever realized this about you? It's so beautiful. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Like, you got to really develop that and enjoy that." Church, we have got to extend the family. There's too many people out there that need to know the love of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning? You know, revival is going to come to our nation, whether we like it or not. Revival is going to come, and there is a sweeping of the love of Jesus across our nation right now, drawing people home into his arms, into his hands, that I have not seen in the entire time I've been alive yet. I remember being in Pine Rivers Park up the top of that tower there. I don't know if you know that park in Strathpine. And I would take some of my friends and we'd go there after school and we'd start praying and we'd start seeing thousands of people filling that place and proclaiming that Jesus is alive and just worshiping and seeing these awesome things. And come on, there is people in our community that need to know that there is a God who is alive. Church, we are family. We need to defend the family, not break out of the family, and extend it. We've got to get after our yet-to-be-adopted brothers and sisters because Jesus is at work. There is something new that is happening that you and I are a part of, and let's get on board. Let's do what we've been called to do. So come on, this morning, I want us to pray for each other. And if you can just grab the shoulders of the person next to you, just lay a hand on their shoulder and let's pray for each other. Person to our left or right, the people around us. And this is what I want you to pray, and I'm going to lead it. I don't want you to feel awkward. I want us to pray. And I want you to pray. God bless them. Provide for them. Protect them. So Heavenly Father, right now we ask for the person on our left and the person on our right, Lord Jesus, that you would provide for them, that provision would flow. Lord, let the things of this world be easy so that they can be devoted to your kingdom. God, we pray that you would protect them in Jesus' name. Lord, protect them from the enemy and protect them from other things happening. Lord God, we also ask that the purpose that is on their life, Lord God, that they would know that they are meant to be here, that they are a part of the family, that they are loved, and that you have called them and you have a destiny for their life in Jesus' name. Church, I want you to pray over their family right now. Pray for salvation. Pray over their home. Pray for peace. Heavenly Father, we just lift up this person's family. God, we lift up our church's families. Lord, we are asking that if they need people to be saved, that salvation would flow in their home in Jesus' name. God, if they need breakthrough and healing in their body, Lord, or some other area of breakthrough, God, we are asking right now for the people around us, Lord, that their families would know the goodness of being children of God in Jesus' name. All right, I want you guys to break up now and I want you to start to pray for this family, but also for the yet to be adopted brothers and sisters that need to be a part of this family. So Heavenly Father, we are asking right now, Lord, for this family to explode. Lord, for more people to come to know you. God, brand new decisions for Jesus, we pray. Lord, prodigals coming home, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we are asking for the suburb of Morayfield and all of the surrounding suburbs. God, that people would see you, your hand at work, alive and active, we pray in Jesus' name. God, we are asking that your plans would prosper in Jesus' name. God, we just take a moment to stand against the plans of the enemy over our community in Jesus' name. Lord, that he would not prosper, but God, that you would. Lord, that people are going to receive life. And Lord, the people are going to experience joy and hope and freedom in Jesus' name. Lord, right now we just plead your blood over this entire region. And God, we are asking for an outpouring of your love. God, even in this place, overflow, we pray in Jesus' name, in us and through us to the world around us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, church, the adventure of life is something that Jesus calls us onto, and it is something that he wants to do with us. So whatever you're going through, whether it's a moment that is really difficult in this time, I want to encourage you that you are a part of a family, and it's God's family, and that you are surrounded by brothers and sisters. And I want to encourage you to engage, stay connected, defend it, extend it, and let's see the people around us like yet to be adopted brothers and sisters. Come on, Jesus doesn't love Christians. He loves humans. It's red letter, for God sent his son to the whole world. Come on, anyone that would say yes. So Heavenly Father, we are praying for the people around us again. Lord God, that you're going to open their eyes, that they're going to see that there is hope, that there is meaning to their existence. Lord God, that their hearts will be softened toward you. God, I pray that even this afternoon, even this week, that you would help us to create opportunity with people, that your love would overflow from us in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, be reminded of that thought, that you have no idea what the person next to you is going through. Let the kindness of Christ lead people closer to Him. And let's allow radical love to overflow from our lives. Last thing, just for a minute, if you're a Christian, would you just be praying in this moment? Maybe even if you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes. And if there's anyone else in this room that you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to start one now. Because Jesus loves you and He cares about you and He is for you. Life's not easy, but it's certainly easier with Him. And He wants to be a part of your story. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to be bold and brave and to choose Him by raising your hand to say, yep, I choose Him. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. And it's you saying, I'm choosing Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to do life with Jesus. I want to become a Christian. It's a friendship like no other. I can testify to that myself. It is a friendship like no other. He comes and He dwells within you. He lives with you. He is for you. He helps you to deal with everything that is thrown at you. He is so in love with you, and He will unlock what is on your life for your future and spur you on. And you're in a room where all your brothers and sisters are praying for you even right now. And so if that's you, right now, if you want to choose Jesus, you want to start a relationship with Jesus, I invite you right now, wherever you are, to raise your hand and say, yep, I want Jesus. I choose Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to do that? Let me look across the room one more time. Is there anyone here? I encourage you, come on, be bold and brave. If that's you, choose Him, because He has chosen you. It's awesome. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down. Come on, praise God. That is awesome. Yeah, come on. You can celebrate that. Come on, church. Just keep your eyes closed. Keep praying. Is there anyone else that you want to join this person? Come on, one person. Is there anyone else in this room? And you know, you're feeling it. There's something going on inside. Can I tell you, that is Him making Himself real to you. He loves you, my friend. We're going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer. And church, I want you to join in on this prayer. And I want you to pray it out loud and proud for this person to invite Jesus into their heart and into their life. Would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. I choose you today and forevermore. I want my life to be the best it can be. Jesus, I welcome you in. I want all that you have for me. Now receive your love. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate that decision one more time? Come on, it's awesome.